Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host Scott and back with me as always is my good friend Dan. And usually on the Propulsion Swimming Podcast we are having fun, we are talking very lighthearted topics around the swimming pool with some very interesting guests in the swimming world. But today's podcast is going to be very serious indeed as we start to look at the Save Our Pools campaign that Swim England are doing for a very important reason.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing everyone's going through at the moment with increased energy fees and bills, and no sector is feeling that pinch more than the leisure sector right now. We feel this is a very necessary podcast topic to talk about this week, and there's no better guest joining us today to have this discussion with.
Yeah, absolutely. On today's podcast, we are being joined by the CEO of Swim England, the woman who is leading the charge towards the government for this campaign, and that is Jane Nickerson. So let's have a quick listen for what's in store on this week's podcast.
The running of the pools is always a cost, and then you triple that main cost, and it's just a complete disaster because you can't pass that on. If you were to try and pass that cost on, consumers just won't be able to afford to go. I've had so many meetings, and it's further up the food chain now. I talk to the Minister of Sport. He gets it. He nods. He agrees. But this is Treasury and Cabinet. Just keep pestering your local MP. Pester, pester, pester. Pester the Prime Minister. Pester Treasury. And give the real reasons why you need that water.
So like we said on this week's podcast, we are being joined by Jane Nickerson, the CEO of Swim England. She is an MBE. She was the woman leading the charge during the COVID crisis when pools were shut. She managed to get pools open within 2 weeks of the announcement that they weren't allowed to open. She's very much leading the charge now for the energy crisis and lobbying with MPs. So please welcome onto this week's podcast, Jane Nickerson. Jane, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast this week. How are things with you in what must be a very, very busy time?
It does seem like we're in an absolutely crazy world at this moment in time. When we got through COVID, we thought, that's it, the pools are open, we're through and whatever. And now we're back into that sort of lobbying game again to try and keep pools open. So it just seems like the world's gone completely topsy-turvy, to be honest. And this is our new normal, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you've had loads of media commitments over recent weeks, so we are really grateful for you coming onto the podcast this evening. But for anyone who isn't aware, the reason we do have you on this week is to discuss, unfortunately, a very worrying topic within the swimming sphere, and one that we are, as a platform, Propulsion Swimming, are consistently being asked about from every demographic within swimming, and that is the effect of the cost of living and energy crisis on pools, clubs and swimmers in the UK. So the landscape for the leisure sector is obviously in a very precarious state right now, with many pools struggling to pay energy bills now that energy rates have risen dramatically over 12 months. But why is the energy rates having such an impact on pools?
Swimming pools themselves are really high energy users at the moment. We do have to find solutions for the future, but at the moment they are completely dependent on the electricity and gas, which has just skyrocketed. The energy bill relief scheme was really helpful, but wasn't really sufficient. The one that's in place now is not really sufficient to really help. The energy bills for pools have tripled since 2019, tripled. So. Blimey. And swimming doesn't actually make money. So the running of the pools is always a cost, and then you triple that main cost, and it's just a complete disaster because you can't pass that on. If you were to try and pass that cost on, consumers just won't be able to afford to go.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the government, we're talking about it now, the government is scaling back its energy support scheme from April, and the leisure sector is very much losing out. What kind of impact is the government withdrawal of funding and support going to have?
Oh, I couldn't believe when they weren't on the list for extra support, to be honest. It just doesn't make sense. I could understand the manufacturing companies on there, that I get that, I understand it. And whilst I wouldn't want to see anybody come off the list, I couldn't understand why libraries, museums were on the list and swimming pools weren't. Now, this isn't about take them off and put these on, but I think swimming pools and leisure should definitely be on there. They will see, without that additional support, the leisure centres will see energy bills go up about 5.5 times more than it was previously. And it's just not going to be affordable to anyone. We know that people are going to close. The local authorities are saying about 74% of local authority areas will see closures. Absolutely sure of that. We've already seen four places close, even on the current scheme. And this, it would just be horrendous. We just need those pools added to that list.
Yeah, it just seems kind of, it's really backwards thinking when you think the benefits that exercise such as swimming has on a personal level and a national level, given like the stress the NHS is under right now. It just, honestly, I can't quite get my head around the thinking of not putting it on. It's called an energy intensive list, isn't it? That's what the funding goes towards.
Well, I don't understand it at all. And I don't understand why there isn't joined up thinking on this around government, because we know that the NHS and social care system is, we save £357 million a year on just six health conditions. Now, that's a figure from a few years ago. That's probably gone up considerably since then. We also know that with every £1 invested in sport and physical activity, it's worth £4 to the government. They've come out recently talking about, the Public Accounts Committee came out recently worried that there hasn't been enough activity, that we haven't gained active people since the Olympics, on the back of the Olympics. Although slightly unfair, because I think numbers were going back up on activity until COVID struck. But you can't sit there on one hand and go, you're not getting the nation active, and then take away the very places where they do activity.
All of the lobbying that you're doing on media, whether it's national, whether it's on podcasts like this, what effect do you think you can have on the government's choices of putting or not putting leisure on this list? Do you think you personally can make a change or make them change?
I think it's a really tall order, but we made it during COVID. So we did have success in COVID when they opened pubs and didn't open swimming pools. We were very vocal, the whole load of us, and they opened swimming pools 2 weeks later. The same thing with the over 18s when they weren't allowed to train their clubs. We got things overturned. So there's a tiny fraction of me that is very hopeful, but I've had so many meetings, and it's further up the food chain now. I talk to the Minister of Sport. He gets it. He nods. He agrees. But this is Treasury and Cabinet, and we don't have an in into Treasury and Cabinet in the same way. But if we make enough noise, if we keep saying how much this is going to affect people, and they want sport and activity for everyone, they want it to be affordable, they want it to be accessible, then they have to find the places. And it is part of education, it is part of health, so it is joined at government. So, and I just think we all need to be very vocal. The more noise we make between us, it's got to be like butterfly wings, somewhere it's got to have an impact. So just by these sort of podcasts, by getting everybody around us, writing to MPs, making the case, maybe, just maybe, they'll do a U-turn.
I mean, thinking of worst case scenario here, let's say they don't change anything. What is the potential of leisure centres going completely under and then not returning whatsoever? Because from our research, more than 350 leisure centres, pools and gyms across the UK have either closed temporarily or permanently. Is it likely to continue? It seems that way to me.
Yeah, it will continue. There's no choice about it. They just won't be able to afford to keep the doors open. And the problem is with the swimming pool, once you close it, it's really hard to recommission it. So during COVID, because you knew however long that pandemic was going on for, you knew there'd be an end. So we worked really hard with operators to give guidance on pulling down your swimming pool or keeping it in a state ready to return when COVID ended. And they did that. And that's why pools came back and came back very quickly. And we did bounce back very quickly. But with no chance of knowing what's happening in energy, it just is going to be a shut door. We do have to find solutions, and there are some exciting solutions being worked on now, but they need time. So we've got a company at the moment that is putting servers into plant rooms. So a server generates so much heat. And most of the time you have to put your servers in a nice air-conditioned room to take the heat away. So that's a double whammy. You're wasting the heat and it's costing you to cool them down. So they're putting them into servers and they are now running the plant room. So we've got some on trial. The early trials, they think, will show 50% saving, but they believe they can get up to 90% saving. But the next problem will be, can we convince companies to take their pressure servers out of nice air-conditioned rooms and pop into a plot room and a swimming pool. That's going to be our next challenge on this. And talking to some of the supermarkets, because they have servers and things, I don't think I'm into convincing Amazon Web Services yet, but how good a story would that be for Amazon Web Services to say, let's do it and let's save leisure, you know? I've just got to find the right people to talk to, I think.
They already sponsor, Amazon already like support Australian swimming over there, so the same thing needs to happen over here with servers. Mm-hmm. That is, honestly, I had never thought of that. That is a very interesting solution. We've got GCHQ just down the road from us. There's loads of server buildings down there.
Not sure they give us those into a flat room.
No, probably not. Probably not. What other steps are you advising leisure centres take just to make sure they don't close? Is it like reducing hours? Is it reducing pool temperatures? Is it tiny steps like that? Or are they simply just a band-aid?
There are tiny steps, and they are doing everything they can. And a lot of them have gone for solar panels, and the quick fixes, things like solar panels on roofs help, ground source heat pumps help, all these things help. Reducing hours only helps a little bit because it shuts people out. So where do you reduce? If you reduce the hours that my club members want, oh, please don't do that. You know, if you reduce the hours where people go, where it might not be so busy, but people like the senior citizens go, or people with health issues, that's shutting them out of things that's helping the house service. So it's really difficult to know when to shut. And don't shut it during Learn to Swim, please, because we can't afford another lost generation of kids not learning to swim. So that's really difficult. When do you close it? Reducing temperature saves a tiny bit, but I'm not sure it saves enough to warrant the discomfort some people will feel. You can't drop it too low for Learn to Swim. You can't drop it too low for senior citizens using it for health benefits. So it's a really difficult position. And you will lose members if they go too low, if they make it too cold. My members will love it because you can get too hot training up and down. Mm. But the general participants won't like it too cold.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say, because you can't reduce the pool temperature too much, or we can't reduce the lighting too much, because then it becomes a health and safety hazard. Like lifeguards on poolside may not be able to see someone swimming at the bottom of the pool, or it might be too cold, maybe not to the point of hypothermia, of course, but it will cause discomfort, you know? So, it's a difficult one to do. I don't really know how you can reduce it, how you can save on bills and fees. I'm not sure how you do it.
Not enough. I mean, the only real answer is for them to support it through until we can get some different solutions in place, or until prices drop. I mean, we know that wholesale prices are beginning to come down, but when will that be, you know, come through to the other suppliers? And I also wonder, I do wonder about the wholesale. I try to understand it all. And some of the people selling wholesale gas, because the wholesale prices across the world are making enormous profits. Well, donate that back. If you don't want to drop the price, donate it back as a CSR tax efficient saving then. But do something to help.
Yeah, a windfall tax on those energy companies pumped straight back into the leisure centre leisure facilities could be an option. Mm. But that's not exactly in the control of kind of us, me, you, Swim England, is it? That's wider government policy.
It's all government policy, and that's why we just have to keep making noises. We're all voters, and that's really important. The Minister for Sport did tell me that his inbox is absolutely full of letters from his constituents MPs where our members had written to them. Great, keep writing, keep making ourselves an absolute pain, because I'm absolutely convinced the more noise you make, eventually somebody goes, oh, for goodness sake, shut her up.
So how are Swim England helping pools and swimmers in this crisis? You've spoken about sending letters to your MP, but we've also seen that you've started a campaign, our Save Our Pools campaign. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, that's about a petition and getting that to government as well. It's just about noise. It's about getting everybody behind, getting our future and former and current swim stars behind this, talking to government, sending information out. We're also working out Scotland and Wales, because this is across the UK, so we're all making that noise together from all the home countries. even World Aquatics and the European body are in on this now, trying to make the move, because this is Europe. Europe's got the problem as well. The world's got the problem. Yeah. But they're coming on board. They're holding podcasts saying, how can we help? How can we get some support? Different countries are getting different supports to keep pools open. So it is down to the local country. But everybody is making a noise about trying to keep pools open.
So as a platform of propulsion swimming and everyone who's listening, what can we do to help with this situation? Make as much noise as possible, sign this campaign. Yeah. Yeah. Is it
write to our local MPs? Write to MPs, write to the cabinet, write to Treasury, write to the Prime Minister. Just keep writing. No. Okay, the poor old civil servants, I feel sorry for them because they're the poor guys that are going to have to keep reading and opening and reading and opening. But we've got to show how important it is and how important. There's two things about this. One is data. Data is really important, trying to get data across. Now, that is happening. Every local authority, UK Active, all the trusts are sending in data all the time to show the effect of the energy prices. So they've got the hard data, and that's really important. The emotional stories have to back up that data, and the emotional stories are quite simply the NHS will suffer if pools and leisure centres close because people won't be as fit, won't be able to do the things that are keeping them healthy. And we know, we've got case studies where people have come off pain relief because of swimming. There's absolute stories about how people don't have slips, trips and falls because of it. So the saving is immense, as well as the quality of life, and the quality of life of people is much improved with it. So that's really important. And every child has to learn to swim. We've got to keep the pools open for kids to learn to swim. We have to, because without that, we've got another lost generation. Drownings are already going up. They're increasing.
Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? I mean, already 50,000 people have signed on to this Save Our Pools petition calling on the government to help pools with soaring energy costs. What's the number got to be for the government to sort of hear it and understand like it's a serious problem?
I don't know. I really don't know. We've got another roundtable tomorrow with government and on this very topic. And we just keep making the case. There will be operators who are talking facts and figures and highlighting exactly how much this is going to cost. And really, really assuring them this is not a matter of, you know, your restaurants, it's really tough. But they'll put the price of your meal up and you either afford it or you don't. But we can't get the price of swimming up to the point where you could cover these costs. It would just become unaffordable and nobody would go. And swimming should be one of the most accessible and affordable and easy to do activities. Because if you can't exercise on land, you can exercise in the water. You should be given that opportunity.
Yeah, so when we're getting messages from swimmers at clubs and they're really worried that fees are going to rise beyond essentially affordable levels, would you say in reality, you don't think that's going to happen? You think the pool and the energy cost would actually just make the pool fold before prices go up?
I think they'll put some prices up. I think they will put prices up to clubs, and we are seeing that in training. Okay. And of course, this is a double whammy because this is coming at a time when that family is already having to find more money for their own electricity and gas, their own food and everything they're doing. So families are just getting hit from everywhere now. So we know some of them are seeing those increases, but the big deal will be they will shut the door. We know they will shut the door. They will have to shut the door. There won't be any option for them.
And if prices were to rise for, let's say, swimmers from disadvantaged backgrounds where they are getting hit from every corner right now and can't afford to pay for swimming, what support is there on offer for them from Swim England or elsewhere? Because the last thing we really want to see is young kids not learning to swim. Is there help out there for them to afford swimming lessons?
Well, every child should learn to swim at school because it is in the curriculum and it is a curriculum requirement. So every single child should be given that opportunity at school. We know that isn't happening. We know that's a problem, but that should be the case. So at least every child by Key Stage 2 should be able to swim 25 metres. As far as support for private lessons or support for other activities, we don't have the funding for that. We have a fundraiser who works with clubs and tries to help them find grants and opportunities and things, charities out there. There won't be enough charities in the world to make this happen, though, to support to support
this.
It's
a worrying time.
There will be some opportunities, but it's too big. It's too big for that, I think.
Yeah. Do you reckon that the situation will get better as we go towards the warmer weather of the summer, like when Lido is open and open water sort of stuff happens more? Because open water was a big deal during COVID or just after COVID, because that's where the uptake and participation in that grew massively. Is that going to be a big factor as we're moving through the months?
I think it'll help. There will be people that will enjoy going open water, and then we just have to make absolutely sure that they're in safe places. And another plea to the government, you need some clean bathing areas and supported bathing areas, because some of the water is just not right to swim in. So that's another campaign we've been lobbying for, is clean water and safe bathing places. And yes, it will, but not everybody. That's another podcast coming on, yeah. Get Fergal Sharkey on that one. He's very, very good at it. But it's not for everybody. It's great, and it's really good for your mental health and that. But you can't teach a whole class of 4-year-olds to swim outside in a lake or river. You just can't. It's a lovely extra place to swim, but it doesn't replace indoor swimming pools.
Yeah, I was going to say 100% is where I love to swim, but I am a very competent swimmer. I would not want a child learning in a lake, really. And then if you think you're saying warmer weather means everyone goes to open water, well, that doesn't help the leisure industry, really, because no one's coming through the admission gates to pay the bills.
No. Yeah. And it also doesn't help the people on the social prescribing type programs. It doesn't help people on our Good Boost programs or water wellbeing programs who need that warm water and need to be able to go in and do gentle exercise in water that's probably only up to here for them and things like that. Because it's not all about swimming, it's also about walking water and the rest of it. And all our sports can't take place in open water. I mean, diving would struggle a bit, apart from cliff diving. And water polo is better off in its pool. And artistic swimming, I think, could be a little bit murky if you were trying to do that open waters, so
yeah, quite challenging, I think.
We need our pools.
I think everyone listening to this podcast knows just how important swimming pools are. I think everyone who's listening will have swam, will have grown up around a swimming pool. So I think the best way to kind of end this podcast is if we just ask some like really quick fire questions of how can everyone get behind this campaign and help leisure? What's the best way to do that?
Just keep pestering your local MP. Pester, pester, pester. Pester the Prime Minister, pester Treasury. And give the reasons, give the real reasons why you need that water. It could be our members, that it's their training, it's what they do twice a day and whatever. And, you know, my inbox is full of our members when they couldn't swim during COVID and the effect on their mental health, because it's what they do. You know, and I was a swimmer, I understand that totally. If you are a mum or somebody who goes swimming for your mental health or your physical health, or because it's the one place you can exercise, write that down as well. Give the reasons why you need to go, and the saving that's probably giving to the national health. And if you've got young children learning to swim, the importance of learning to swim and being safe in, on and around water. Just give the reasons, but right.
I very much remember during the COVID times when the Open Our Pools campaign was everywhere. So it's time to get massive. The Save Our Pools campaign everywhere as well, and continue to press that message home strong.
Yeah.
Jane, I'm sorry it's been somewhat of a negative podcast and a worrying podcast, but they're questions that need to be answered. And very much a campaign that the whole of the swimming community needs to get behind. Thank you for providing some context to the questions everyone has come to us with. And best of luck, hopefully finding some solutions, but also lobbying very hard, as you always do, for our sport. We very much appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for having me on, because it really does help spread the message. So great podcast, and I hope one day we can have a happier one about some successes.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'd love to.
One day we'll have a positive thing to talk about, not COVID and not this energy crisis. We'll bring you back on for, I don't know, how well Swim England is actually doing, you know, to promote swimming, because I think it is doing a good job, especially on the learn to swim side of things, because you're getting through millions of kids and learning them the vital life skill of swimming and potentially saving their life on holiday or open water or whatever it is, you know. So it is a good job. So, yes, we will get you on in a more positive time, I think. How about that?
Thank you very much. I look forward to it. And thank you. And thanks for your time. Great job, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane.
Thank you.
So, Dan, like we said in the introduction, a very serious topic of discussion this week. It's not our longest podcast in the world, but that is simply because we need to get this message across to our listeners and to everyone who follows propulsion swimming. In fact, everyone who is involved in UK swimming, of how to get behind the Save Our Pools campaign and how to help the leisure industry survive in this energy crisis.
Yeah, it sounds like James' biggest concern, and I think it's probably my concern personally as well, and I'm sure amongst others, that the Learn to Swim program suffered significantly over COVID, and it's only going to get worse again through this energy crisis. If leisure centres don't open or they close permanently, then where are you going to learn to swim? And these kids are going to, you're going to miss out a whole generation yet again, which is the last thing you want to be hearing and seeing. So we need everyone to be signing its petition, message your MP. I mean, she said even go to your prime minister, just go as far as you can to get your message heard, because it needs to happen, because it's worrying. It really is worrying.
Yeah, I think from our experience, we're around the swimming world a lot. We know that pool time is short. Like, there is no abundance of people who want to be in a swimming pool, whether that is clubs, whether that's learn to swim, whether that's recreationally, whether it's diving, water polo, artistic swimming. There isn't enough pool space to go around, let alone when leisure centres are closing, whether it's permanently, temporarily, or scaling back services. You said in the podcast 350 leisure centers have already felt the effect, which is a massive amount, and it's only going to get worse without support on wholesale energy fees, government funding to reduce these bills. Anyone who has worked at a swimming pool will probably know the cost of an energy bill for a swimming pool. Swimming doesn't make money. There is no way a leisure center makes money, so it needs support. And everyone needs to get behind the messages of this podcast, go sign everything, go message everyone, and essentially help save leisure centers. It's really, really important.
Yeah, I think it's great that you have things like museums and libraries getting their bit of discount after April, but the fact that swimming pools are being taken off, it's going to affect the NHS as well. Maybe we should mention that. It's going to be a huge effect on them, the younger kids, I was saying, and we need to get this message across. That's the whole reason for this podcast, and hopefully it'll be spread far and wide to get as many people sign a petition and get involved with the Save Our Pools campaign. It's crucial.
Yeah. So in the podcast notes of this episode, we are going to put a link for everyone to sign. Please do so. We know there are hundreds, thousands of you who listen to this podcast. We would be very appreciative if you follow our lead and sign the Save Our Pools campaign. Me and Dan will be back next week for a little bit more of a lighthearted episode with a guest in the swimming world. But until then, we will see you guys in 7 days' time.
Yeah, thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.